God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good, and that is His nature. Wow, wow, wow. Well, it's a pleasure to here to be with you once more. And thank God for the opportunity for us to be here in the presence of the Lord. And I'll invite you all to be on your feet. Get ready your Bibles. Be on your feet and let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment. We thank you for this moment that you allow us to be here this morning into this sacred space of worship. Lord, we pray and ask that your Holy Spirit come this hour, Lord, and dwell with us. Lord, we're about to hear from you. Lord, I ask for your anointing. Lord, I need more of you and less of me, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Let us all say amen. You may still remain standing and open your Bibles. We're going to read two quick lessons. Open your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 20. We're only going to read two verses. 20, beginning to read from 22 to 23. John chapter 20, and I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. John chapter 20, beginning to read from verse 21 to 22. If you are there, say amen. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he breathed, and with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let's quickly turn to Acts. Just scroll down your app or something and go to Acts of the Apostles. And we're going to read chapter 19. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 1 to 2 and verse 6 to 7. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Drop down to verse 6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. We are about 12 men in all. Let the church say 12. Let the church say 12. There we are, 12 men. That's the reading of the word. Before you sit down, just look at your person next to you and recite and play preacher this morning. Vibrantly say to that person, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, I'm empowered for the mission." You may be seated in the presence of God. I'm empowered for the mission. One of the biggest, one of the most debated, and to an extent, one of the most divisive topics and doctrines of the Christian church, in the body of the Christian church, is the topic and the discussion about the Holy Spirit. The discussion and the topic about the Holy Spirit. Every single denomination has and view the Holy Spirit differently. From Catholics to Episcopals to Lutherans to Methodists to Baptists to Pentecostals to Presbyterians, we all have different views of what is called the Holy Spirit. History tells us that in 325 AD, the very first ecumenical church council was held in the city of Nicaea. In that council, they debated what the Greeks call homoousios. Let's say that together. Homoousios. Homo as in same, ousios, it means substance. The debate was whether God and Jesus were the same. So they ended up that debate agreeing in that council that there is God and Jesus are made of the same substance, homoousios. In 381 AD, the second ecumenical council was held in the city of Constantinople. This time, it was about the subject of the Holy Spirit, to determine whether God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God was one in three persons, in the term called hypostasis. Let's say that together. Hypostasis. You're learning some good words today, and take it to the office tomorrow. If you can't impress them with professionalism, dazzle them with intellect. Hypostasis. That means God in three persons. So this council, at the end of this meeting, they came out with something that was called, don't be afraid, Nicaea Constantinopolitan Creed, which we just read as the Apostles' Creed, where they declared that we believe in God the Father, we believe in God the Son, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. They call it the Nicene Creed for short, and it's derived from the Apostles' Creed, which we read every Sunday in this church. Look at somebody say, I've learned something today. Alright. So on this topic of the Holy Spirit, we go to the second lesson we read in the book of Acts. Paul, between 40 to 50 AD, visited the city of Ephesus, and he went to the church, and he noticed 12 disciples in the church. He noticed 12 people in the church. And the very first thing Paul asked them is, did you all receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? And their answer was very intriguing. We have never heard about the Holy Spirit. Now the question that came to mind, and the question that you might also be thinking, what is it that Paul saw in the church that the first thing he asked them was, did you all receive the Holy Spirit? Look at somebody and say, that's a good question. But I tell you what, we will come back to that. The first text we read in John, Jesus shows up with his disciples and tells them, my peace I give to you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then the text says, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now I want to make sure you catch this. Don't miss this. Jesus shows up with the disciples and he gives them the peace. The second thing he did was, he tells them, as my Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And the third thing he did was, he gave them the Holy Spirit. Let me try that one more time. He meets them in the room and gives them the peace. The second thing, he gives them the mandate. And the third thing, he gives them logistics. Pastor David is here, he's a big logistician, so he understands. If I'm sending you on a mission, I need to provide you logistics. If I come to Guadamoindo, can you go up to supermarket and buy something for me quick at Himbi? You'll ask me, why is my transport? So Jesus gave them the peace. He gave them the mandate. And he gave them the logistics. Why is it that Jesus did those three things to the disciples? That's the message this morning. Now let's unpack it a little bit. Let's unpack it and see where we're going with this. He gave them the peace. He gave them the peace because with peace, if you don't have peace, you can't do anything. So the first lesson, why he gave them the peace? For clarity. Let's all say that together. For clarity and focus. You need peace for clarity and focus. Now remember, when Jesus showed up on the disciples, where were they? They were locked up inside a room. Why? Because they were afraid of the Roman soldiers. Jesus had been executed. They were looking for his disciples, and they were so much afraid, and they locked themselves in a room. And Jesus appeared to them, and the first thing Jesus was like, peace be unto you. Okay. You're a little slow in that one. Now, why do we need peace? Peace is so important in our lives. Without peace, you cannot sleep. Without peace, you cannot think. Without peace, you cannot sleep. And if you cannot sleep well, you can't think well. And if you cannot think well, you can't make decisions. And if you can't make decisions well, you are unstable. And the Bible tells us that an unstable man is dangerous. If you're unstable, you're double-minded. One minute you're here, one minute you're there. You are unstable, you can't make good decisions. So there's no way you can be a witness without having the peace of mind. Now, how many of us here in Goma can't sleep at night because we're afraid of M23? Some people who have refused to come to church, they said they're afraid because they're bombing churches. Now, you walk around the street the other day, and a car fire went like, boom! And people were ducking because they thought it like M23, they thought it was a gun. That's the effect of not having peace, because without peace, you can't be able to sleep at night. So Jesus shows up with them and gives them the peace. He said, because you need this peace. Now, when the volcano erupted 2 years ago, first person that called me was Pastor David. He said, have you heard? And I looked above and then I saw. And everybody started calling. And believe you me, that night, I went to sleep. I slept. You know that first 13 aftershocks that happened? I didn't hear anything. I was fast asleep. And right in the middle of the sleep, my phone started ringing, and I had this phone, and I picked up, and one of my colleagues, and he was screaming at me, "You are sleeping at this time? This time when everybody's worried, you are sleeping?" Beloved, it's not like I'm boasting, but when you have the peace of God inside you, you know that nothing can harm you. Amen? Nothing can harm you. Jesus said, "I give you the peace. Not the one that the world gives, but the one that I give. The God of Shalom, that peace is what we need. The peace that the world offers is just for a lifetime. The peace that your friends offer is just for a moment. How many times have they declared ceasefire, peace, but the next day they keep fighting? Because that's the peace that the world offers. Well, Christian friends, this morning, if you allow yourself to dwell in the peace, the shalom that Jesus gives, that said, the peace I give to you, the peace I live with you, not that the world will go in peace, so you will have a clarity and focused mind to be in the mission. I declare this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are here seated there and you have sleepless nights, I breathe peace over your life, Jesus, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive the peace from Jesus in mighty name. Receive that shalom that we need in the mission of the work of God. Amen? So Jesus gave them the peace. The second thing he did, he gave them the mandate. He gave them the mandate because, number two, the mandate defines the mission. Amen? The mandate defines the mission. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Now, what was Jesus' mandate? Jesus' mandate, John 3:16. God so loved the world. Just act like you know it. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus' mandate came to redeem us from the curse of the law, to reconcile us with Christ. Jesus' mandate was fulfilled when he declared it on the cross. It is finished. His mandate was fulfilled. So he told the disciples now, as the Father sent me, in other words, my mission is done. Now I'm giving you a mandate now. Go and spread the good news. Okay, let me explain something. During Jesus' ministry, whenever he healed people, he always tell them, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody about this. When he healed the blind man in Mark 10, from Bethesda, he said, don't go back. Go this other way. When he healed the lepers, he told them, go show yourself to the priest. Why he told them, go show yourself to the priest? Because in those days, the custom was, the priest has to give permission for you to walk and to worship. So if you have leper, you're unclean, you can't. So he told them, after he healed them, go show yourself to the priest. For all the other instances we read, Jesus said, don't tell anybody. So it bothers me a little bit. Now, when he appears to the disciples, he tells them, now go spread the good news. Okay, where? I don't know if you're getting where I'm going with this. Those days, he said, don't tell anybody. Now that he has resurrected, he said, go spread the good news. Why is it that he told them not to tell people those days, but now he's telling them to go on? Why? Because now his work is complete. Oh, that's the good part. You should say amen. Now his work is finished. How can you tell somebody to go be a witness when what you came to do has not yet been completed? Now that the disciples have seen him heal people, now that they've seen him walk in water, now that they've seen him feed 5,000, now that they've seen him die, now that they've seen him go on the cross, now that they've seen him buried, and now that they have seen him that he is alive, now they can be a witness to say, this man is for real. I can testify that whatever he came to do, the devil is a liar. Now whatever he has come to do has been accomplished. Now I can testify that yes, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, this is the one true God who came from the earth. Yes, this is the Son of God. Yes, this is the Son of God, Son of the Most High God. Christian friends, I don't know who you're talking to this morning, but I came to declare to somebody that we have been witnesses. We've seen how God makes ways when there are no ways. We've seen how God heals. We've seen how God provides. We've seen how God makes ways for us. Now our mandate is, go spread the good news. Go and testify. Go and tell others. Go and teach others. Go and baptize others. Go and pray for others. Go and be a witness that yes, Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. That's the mandate he has given them, and that's the mandate he has given us. To go out into the world and preach the good news. Preach the good news that Jesus is alive. Amen. So he breathed. He appeared to them. And he said, my peace I give to you. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Now watch what he did, the last one. And then he breathed the Holy Spirit on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Christian without the Holy Spirit is like having an expensive car without no fuel. By the way, speaking of fuel, you got fuel, by the way. This morning I was chasing fuel all evening, and I met Dr. Abel also before we came to church. We were all there at the gas station. Yeah, the fuel stations are running now so you can fill your cars. A Christian without Holy Spirit is having an expensive car without no fuel. A Christian without the Holy Spirit is having a television without the remote control. You know the new ones they make now? It's only the power button. Without the remote control, you can't do anything. Those old ones, they used, at least they had channel. They have those buttons underneath you can press. That's the only thing, but you can't connect to anything. A Christian you need, because the remote control is your Holy Spirit. A Christian without the Holy Spirit is like eating fried chicken without seasoning. The moment you take the first bite, you start looking. Please pass me the salt. Pass me the mayonnaise. Pass me the ketchup. Pass me the hot sauce. Some people are doing like this. Don't worry, we'll go out to eat. A Christian without the Holy Spirit cannot function properly. Now, remember when I started, I told you we'll come back to the Holy Spirit. Paul visited the church in Ephesus, and the first thing he said, did you all receive the Holy Spirit? And he said, we've never been taught, or we've never heard about the Holy Spirit. Now, the scripture said there were 12 disciples. Let the church say 12 disciples. 12 disciples. Now, 12 sounds like a good number. Somebody else had 12 in the Bible. Somebody else had 12 disciples in the Bible. Yeah, just shake your head like this so you know, yes, Jesus had 12 disciples. But wait until you see this. Ephesus is the second largest city in the world. Ephesus is the capital of the Asian province of the Roman Empire. Ephesus had a quarter of a million residents living in Ephesus. 250,000 people lived in Ephesus. Now, Paul looked at the church and said, did you all receive the Holy Spirit? Because if there's 250,000 people in the city, how come you only have 12 members? Let me say that again. If there's 250,000 people living in the city, how come the church only has 12 members? So straight away, Paul knew something is wrong with this congregation. And the only thing that can equip you for mission is the Holy Spirit. So that goes to point number three, that Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is an equipper for evangelism. Let us say that together. An equipper for what? Evangelism. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive what? Power. I want to demonstrate this a little bit. Media, can please help me? Sorry if I only take you by Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read it together. But ye shall receive what? Power. After the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And what? And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Look at somebody and say, that includes Goma. That includes Goma. The Holy Spirit is an equipper for evangelism. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no way you can succeed to evangelize. You know why? Because living in the Christian life is tough. Walking in the Christian ways is hard. Experienced pastors can tell you, doing the work of God is not an easy thing. Because God requires us to do some things that involves sacrifice, that involves patience, that involves going the extra mile. Pray for those who despise you. That's tough. That's tough. If they slap you on one side, you have to turn the other cheek so they can slap you. That's tough. That's tough. Bite your tongue until it bleeds when you are being persecuted, when you are being molested, going through all kinds of things. That is tough. But the Bible tells us that vengeance is mine. That you have to sit and bite your tongue in the spirit of the work of God to go through that process. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not only about talking in tongues and prophesying in the church. No, the Holy Spirit is what you do when you leave the walls of this church. When you go outside and meet that person that doesn't look like you. When you go outside and meet that person that doesn't dress like you. When you go outside and meet that person that doesn't think like you, that doesn't believe like you, but you have to be in company with that person. It takes the Holy Spirit to be able to be a witness to this person. It takes the Holy Spirit to be in you. That is why God breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Because you need the Holy Spirit in every day. You need the Holy Spirit in your walk of life. You need the Holy Spirit in everything you do. Because on your own, you cannot do nothing. You will not survive. So here we are. Three things. He gave them the peace. He gave them the mandate. He gave them the logistics, the Holy Spirit, because they're an equipper for evangelism. Now, what brings all those things together is one key word: belief. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead and is coming again? Do you believe that what's written in the scripture, you'll be able to act on it? Do you believe? And do you receive what Jesus has offered us this morning? Paul in Acts 16, when he was arrested on mission, and he was locked up, and miraculously, the chains were broken, And all the prisoners were freed. And the warden looked at the miracle and asked Paul this question: what must I do to be saved? And Paul's answers were simple: believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Not only you, you and your family will be saved. People of Sebeka, do you believe this morning? Do you receive the mandate that Jesus has sent you? Go and be a witness. Go and teach others. Go and baptize others. And at the end of the day, we will all be united in glory for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. Amen. Let us all stand this morning. Christian friends, if you've never accepted that challenge, if you've never accepted the invitation, if you've never accepted that witness that God has sent us, many of you, just say something to God right now. God has given us the mandate. God has given us the spirit. God has provided us to be empowered. He has empowered us to actually go in the mission with those three key ingredients. The peace that we need, the mission, the directives, and he's empowered us with the Holy Spirit. Just accept and receive it this morning. And we leave this place to go out and tell others about his glory and his goodness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know that you are the God of peace. That peace that passeth all understanding, to keep our hearts and our minds through the knowledge of you and you alone. And we know that as we go out to be a witness, that the mission that we're about to send, we can testify because we know that what God has done for us. And we can tell others that what God can do and what God is doing and what God is about to do. And we receive your Holy Spirit that we need every day of our lives, every morning that we wake up, we need you to breathe your Holy Spirit on us. Because the Holy Spirit is our guide, is our comforter, and is our equipper for evangelism. Thank you, Father, for your word. And as we leave this place, let's go out to be good stewards and good custodians in the world, to preach and spread the gospel. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. And all church say amen.
Amen.